Good evening and welcome to HealthBeat on WDIY. HealthBeat is a program generously supported and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the executive director at WDIY. I am joined by Samantha Schack, who is the acting executive director of the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health, and our co-host today on HealthBeat. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
On our last episode, we learned more about the holistic neighborhood development work at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. They are focusing on the health of a community outside of the healthcare system by supporting collaboration and connecting and convening local leaders to work together in innovative ways. In addition, they work with different national partners who can share expertise and best practices with the Lehigh Valley. On tonight's episode, we hear from one of the national partners that supports communities just like Allentown and the Lehigh Valley all across the United States. For our conversation, we are delighted to welcome Melissa Monbouquette, Executive Director at the Build Health Challenge. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the Build Health Challenge, and BUILD is all capital letters, correct? So it stands for something. So tell us how it got started and what it focuses on.
That's right. The Build Health Challenge invests in multi-sector, community-centered partnerships that are working to transform systems and elevate community power in order to advance health. As an organization, we are learning from, connecting, and amplifying local initiatives in order to champion the national movement for health equity. We hope to move attention, resources, and action upstream to improve health and well-being across the country. BUILD was launched in 2015 by five funders who were interested in shifting focus and resources in America from healthcare or downstream to prevention upstream, with the knowledge that all of the BUILD core partners, which are community-based organizations, health departments, and healthcare entities, are all committed to healthier communities, and that so often health is determined by the conditions in the communities where we live, work, and play, not what happens in a doctor's office. Since 2015, BUILD has expanded to support 68 community projects around the country. The initiatives are really diverse in what they work on and how, but BUILD stands for bold, upstream, integrated, local, and data-driven. And that's the model that all of the collaboratives that participate in BUILD have at their heart.
Great. So can you share how this initiative has evolved over the 9 years?
Of course, we've learned a lot. Really what we've learned, I think the most important thing we've learned is that those that are closest to the issue are closest to the solution. And by that, we mean people who are part of communities know best what resources they have, what solutions would work best for them, and what possibilities they're capable of. With that said, they have to be part of any decision-making that will impact them. From that learning, we've added some new partners in the mix over the years. We now require that community residents have a formal defined role in each of the collaboratives. We have also included health plans as part of the core collaborative in some cases, as the social determinants of health have become better understood as drivers of better health, and that healthcare and health funding can really incentivize shifts in the way we work. Today, we're a lot more explicit about health equity and racial equity as critical drivers of improved health outcomes. We know that centering communities that have historically been excluded from accessing resources and making decisions, it can really be incredibly powerful and transformative. Lived experience is expertise, and elevating those voices in the conversation does shift health outcomes and systems that desperately need to change.
So Sam, how does this connect to the work being done locally by the Poole Institute for Health?
Well, we are honored to be a part of the fourth cohort of the Build Health Challenge. We are about 1 year into our 3-year partnership with the Build Health. And in Allentown, we are one of 13 communities in this cohort that are part of that across the country. And we focused our project on our early learning collaborative and part of that cradle to career pipeline that we have talked about. And so it is supporting the work that is happening in Franklin Park and specifically an initiative called Families First in Franklin Park.
So can you tell us about the collaborative, who's involved, and who are some of the key technical support that's provided by Melissa's team?
Absolutely. So our collaborative includes partners from the Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital, the Allentown Health Bureau, Valley Health Partners, Community Services for Children, the Poole Institute for Health, and then of course, families that are residents within Franklin Park. And we are really focused on looking at the early childhood environment and ensuring that we are providing all the supports needed to families who have children under the age of 5, and that they are able to support healthy development over the course of those 5 years before they enter school. And being part of the Build Health Challenge has really given us access to leaders across the country who are helping communities work on topics just like early childhood education and think about how we create sustainable systems level change over time.
Now, Melissa, how did you see the work in Allentown as a good fit for the Build Health Challenge?
I think what was so exciting about this initiative is how strongly the partners are committed to creating a healthier Franklin Park and Allentown overall. They really recognize that there are unfair health inequities and what root causes are driving them, and that everyone deserves a chance to thrive. The collaborative is thinking big and long-term by focusing on early childhood. Those are super formative years when your health trajectory begins, and that will continue to have ripple effects for decades, if not well into the next generations. And I really love that community members have been participating in and informing this work for a long time.
And as you could hear from Melissa's opening, I think a lot of the values that are core to the Build Health Challenge are exactly the values that we are looking to instill in the work that we do. And so really looking at that prevention piece and being upstream, thinking across sectors, and thinking about how we can create long-term sustainable change, we felt that the Build Health Challenge really provided that same vision that we were looking to have and could connect with people who were also doing this in other places outside of the Lehigh Valley.
That's great. So Melissa, you said one of the main goals of Build is achieving health equity. Are you able to share any success stories or wins that you have seen where communities are on a path to improved health equity?
Yeah, we have a lot of really great stories of change. I'm constantly inspired by the communities that we work with. I can think of two in your neighbor, New Jersey. Roots to Prevention is a collaboration of Camden residents, nonprofits, farmers, and other institutions who are committed to improving health by increasing access to fresh produce. They have a variety of initiatives to do this, including urban agriculture training, cooking classes, and a healthy corner store program. What this looks like in practice is local residents are trained to produce food in urban settings, including vacant lots, which is a challenge that Camden has. And they can then package and sell that food to the local health system, who utilizes it in their food as medicine program, which is a program that provides prescriptions for healthy foods for those who would benefit from a different diet or greater access to healthy foods. Not only is the Roots Prevention team increasing access to healthy food for those who need it, they're producing the food locally and increasing jobs in that production process. So in addition to the immediate health impacts of healthy food access, this project supports new sources of income, revitalizes vacant land in Camden neighborhoods, and promotes economic development.
So before you share your second example, you mentioned something, you said food prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what that is? I don't know if our listeners, I certainly don't know exactly what it is.
Sure. I think this is a growing movement across the United States and a lot of interest in it as a possible solution for food insecurity and other diet-related health outcomes. What it is when a patient comes in that shows health challenges related to perhaps their diet or access to healthy foods, which is very common in food deserts and other places where fresh produce isn't available. A doctor or provider can write a prescription for healthy food, and that allows that patient to have access to fresh produce and other things that they might otherwise struggle to get.
So this gets it gets processed through insurance, pays for if you go to the grocery store, they're going to pay for or reimburse you?
In some places, right, Melissa? I think that's what the goal is over time, and there are pilots of this and initial opportunities to try this, usually starting with grant funding, but with the goal of eventually having that be built in with a health plan.
Hmm. That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And you had another example you were going to talk about.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think for healthcare systems, these types of projects are really special because imagine as a doctor, you're committed your whole life, considerable education and your career to helping people be healthy. And then you have a child comes in with asthma, and all you can do is provide an inhaler or steroids and treat them in the moment, but you can't prevent them from having an asthma attack again in the future. What things like these collaborations are able to do is to say, hey, I can help you get resources to improve the conditions in your home, to make sure that your landlord is maintaining the space in the way that they're required to do by law, or to make sure that you can get resources to replace your roof if that's what you need to do, to make sure that your home is a place that is not triggering your child's asthma. So things like food as medicine programs are pilots that start to look at how you can intervene and support patients who are having chronic health disease issues in order to make sure that their home conditions, the communities where they're living, and the other things are supporting those health outcomes that can't necessarily be treated by medicine, surgery, or prescriptions.
I think that's such a great point, Melissa. We talk often about health being more than just healthcare. And healthcare is a really important ingredient, but it also includes all these other pieces. And I think what's great about what the Build Health Challenge is doing is really having healthcare systems as a partner in those collaboratives and making sure that they're connected to what residents want to see and what other community-based organizations are able to provide.
Yeah, and for our listeners, again, I find this so fascinating. It's very important, I think, for people to understand when we're talking about some of these health issues that are societal related to your surroundings. When you mentioned asthma, what kinds of things in a home can cause asthma to occur in children?
I think things like dust and mold. So aging homes, that is often a challenge. Places that have had extreme weather or climate change impacts. Often pests, if you have things like cockroaches or mice in your home, that's terrible for your health, and often is really difficult to remediate on your own. I think I mentioned the example of a replaced roof can be an example of if there's a leak, that can be really detrimental to health. And often folks, that connection is not always made in a doctor's office of what's driving the health outcomes is sometimes where you live, where you work, and where you play. In New Brunswick, New Jersey, the New Brunswick team came together to connect residents in the Esperanza and Unity Square neighborhoods to services through a really great community health ambassador program, which was staffed by trained residents from the neighborhoods. Housing issues emerged as a really critical issue and driver of health outcomes. Residents were fearing eviction and retaliation if they complained about conditions in their rental housing. Through case management and legal services, the community health ambassador team was able to address conditions in over 120 homes in just 2 years, which is amazing. And as the team grew more comfortable working together, they focused on addressing the systems and policies that were allowing these conditions to flourish. Alongside that community health ambassador program, they built knowledge of housing rights with residents, formed a tenants association, and they offered training to residents who wanted to advocate for changes themselves. Ultimately, this resulted in a new ordinance that was passed to improve landlord communication and protect tenants, and is a really great example of what it looks like to build community power and make sure that residents have what they need to thrive in their own homes.
That's great. I can see how a program like that would be something we might want to replicate in some way for our specific neighborhood.
And part of what we're able to do with the Build Health, being part of the cohort of the Build Health Challenge, is that even though not all the projects are focusing on early childhood as we are, we're able to learn about other topics and places that are doing this as well. In the instance of asthma, it really applies to the local community in that Allentown was actually recently named one of the worst places to live with asthma. And part of that is certainly our environmental factors, but also housing and housing-related issues.
So staying with our specific neighborhood, Sam, what do wins look like in Franklin Park for early childhood?
So we are about 1 year in, as I said, with our 3 year period of the Build Health Challenge. And some of our early wins have really been around that partnership piece and being able to share with the community the new ways in which we are working together. So we named the initiative Families First in Franklin Park, so that we could have a name for that overall collaborative and not have to name all the different partners all the time so that community members can get to know that. And one of the first things we did was really want to understand what are the childcare needs of families who are living within Franklin Park. One of our outreach workers was able to complete 233 surveys with families in Franklin Park by going to barbershops and salons and events and community parks and speaking to families about what do they need in terms of childcare? What are the things that influence their decision making around what childcare they use? Is it affordable? And what are some of the barriers they may experience in terms of accessing childcare? And so we are in the process of being able to share that back with the community now and learn further about whether that what we heard through those surveys is validated by other people's experience, understanding what the root causes of some of the concerns or barriers might be so that we can be better informed as we develop strategies going forward around how to support families with young children. And the other big piece is that we are working on being able to share data across the organizations that are a part of this collaborative. One of the key pieces of BUILD is that data-driven piece, and we want to make sure that we're using data to inform our strategies, but also really matching that with the lived experience of those who are living in Franklin Park.
So 3 years is really not a lot of time. Part of what we've discussed on other episodes is that work that creates sustainable change often takes decades. How does BUILD think about time as it supports communities across the country, Melissa?
Well, one, I would say collaboration is a practice, not an end goal. Collaboratives will grow and shift and change, and that's normal. But these relationships that are built become a resiliency factor for communities. We saw just how important it was that they're in place to respond to emergent issues when COVID happened, and resources and connections needed to be mobilized really fast. Those that had worked together before were better prepared to do it again. And we also know that the momentum of change doesn't stop when our award cycle does. 3 years, as you've noted, is just one part of a longer arc of change. From past BUILD communities, we've seen that the very structured BUILD partnership tends to evolve into a more dynamic network of cross-sector partners, community members, and decision makers who continue to move the work forward. We found that public will around the issues continues to intensify because the community gets more and more versed in and has and sets more priorities around social determinants of health, systems change, and equity. And we find that programs continue to expand and reach more people. They create more access to upstream and equitable resources for those most impacted by health inequities. It is really hard, and it should be, to take a resource away from a community. And as word of mouth grows, the demand also expands, and we find that partners continue to meet the challenge. So I think knowing that we're on a longer trajectory helps us think about 3 years as what is this moment of opportunity we have to move forward, to be catalytic, to have a transformative period, and be ready for the next phase of this work.
I love that phrase, moment of opportunity. And I think that is part of what we were interested in as we looked at the BUILD model, is that they recognize that this is one phase of a longer trajectory of work. And so the partners that are part of Families First in Franklin Park were committed to this prior to us becoming part of the BUILD Health cohort and are committed to working together long after that 3-year period. And so we're viewing this as a way to get some momentum and to be able to get this initiative off the ground in a way that will be sustainable moving forward.
So how do you keep momentum and energy around an initiative with partners and residents when you know it will take over 10 years to fully see change?
That's a great question. I think the pieces that become really important is looking at small wins over time, highlighting those small wins. Even though it is 10, 15, 20 year work, we need to break that out into smaller pieces to know what our goal is now, and then how that immediate goal relates to that long-term goal over time. And so the way we're learning to continue that momentum is by making sure that we're sharing what is the thing that is the focus of the moment, and then how does that connect to our broader vision around having an equitable community for all families to thrive within, and being able to evolve those goals over time as we learn and grow with the initiative. Melissa, anything that you would like to add?
Yeah, I also think there's a really powerful motivator in knowing that you're not alone. BUILD communities not only get funding and coaching and other support in their work from BUILD, but they get the chance to connect with other communities around the country who are working towards similar goals in their neighborhoods and are often facing similar obstacles. As Sam noted earlier, Allentown is in a cohort of 13 communities across the U.S., and having those outside perspectives, I think, can not only sometimes radically shift your own perspective, but it can provide an opportunity for you to reflect on your own successes, progress, and opportunities in different ways than you do when you're in that sort of slow slog or in the weeds of change every day and make in the operationalizing of that. I always think of one of our build communities who said to me at the end of their award cycle, like, man, we spent a year and a half figuring out our data sharing agreement. We barely had the chance to focus on the systems change part. And I said to them, had the hospital ever shared data with your community organization before? And to which they said no. And that is such a massive systems change. It shows relationship building, it shows shifts in knowledge about each other and about community priorities, and it shows trust. And that is time consuming and challenging and absolutely incredible to achieve, just as much as any policy change. Every step in that process is pivotal to get to the next one.
I couldn't agree more. Bringing all the partners along in that change over time can really take a long time, but in the end, the product is much better because you are doing that across sectors and with more of a coalition than you would be if you were just doing it alone.
Yeah, not to be cliche, but it is really takes a village.
It does.
Absolutely.
So the kids that are under age 5 now will grow up and there will be new children that are born in Franklin Park. How does this initiative grow over time to support all children in Franklin Park?
Yeah, so the early childhood piece is the start of what should be a longer cradle to career pipeline. And that means that we are connected as a community and have supports for all families from when children are first born through to when they go to college or down a career path. And so that will take the partners that are currently a part of Families First in Franklin Park and so many more along the way. So this is our way to get started. We can't build on anything if we don't have a strong base to start from, and creating an equitable early learning environment for young children in Allentown felt like the right place to start. But as children grow older and we have new children who are coming into Franklin Park, we are developing a community over time that will be connected and able to support families and children no matter what their needs are. And so we have to start somewhere. And as we've been talking throughout this whole episode, really thinking about how we continue to build that over the next 10, 15, 20 years so that all families, even beyond early childhood, also are supported. So, as the children who are young children in Franklin Park now get older, and we continue to develop the community that is supporting those families and children, we also need to bring in additional partners, such as the school district, who is already starting to work with us to think about how we can continue to support kids as they enter the school district, as they enter school, and progress through the school district over time.
So we're almost out of time, but I want to make sure if there's anything else you wanted to add, Melissa or Sam, that we may have missed. Any last thoughts?
We are grateful for the partnership with the Build Health Challenge, their partners from ChangeLab Solutions and Equal Measure, who are providing us technical assistance, have been so invaluable as we learn on the ground here in Allentown. And we are so thankful for the partnership that we have both with those at Build and with the broader cohort of 13 communities.
I likewise, Sam, we are so grateful for your partnership and for the Allentown partners and leading this work. We look forward to seeing what happens in Allentown next and to continue learning from all of the work that the incredible community members and community partners are doing. And we are so grateful that we get to do this with you. Thanks for being part of Build.
And I can't wait to have you on in another year or 2 years and listen to what has all been accomplished. So thank you, Samantha and Melissa, for all of the great information tonight. If you would like to listen to this program again, please go to our website, wdiy.org, the WDIY app, where HealthBeat is archived, or your favorite podcast or smart speaker platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell. Have a great evening.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.